In the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. I love this image on the screen of this heart over the cross with ashes. The next screen has the same thing. Let's go. Not quite. We're not quite there yet. Let's go back. All right, so this heart, the intent during Lent is to have a new picture on the right-hand side, replacing that when we get to the resurrection. Now we can go to that other funny picture. So how many of you just dread going into Lent? Just be honest. How many of you are giving up something? How many of you are going to take on something? How many of you are not sure? That's okay. It takes a while sometimes. It's okay. I want to share with you a little bit. By the way, how many of you are here on Ash Wednesday? Just raise your hand high. I'd like to just see. So this is going to be a little bit of a repeat because we don't have sometimes folks coming in. But I do want to just share that the gospel today is a reminder of Jesus going into the desert for 40 days. Thus, we have the notion of Lent, 40 days in the wilderness where he's tempted like by Satan. When we're tempted as we are with the things that tempt us in life. How many of you grew up in a very like Southern European family? Italian, Portuguese, Greek, Spain. Did your grandmother ever take salt and throw it over her left shoulder? When you throw salt over your left shoulder, you're throwing it at the devil. Because the devil's on our left shoulder, and the angel's on our right shoulder. So I did a house blessing a few weeks ago, and what we do is we take water, and I put salt in there and blessed it to make it holy water to sprinkle around the house. That's what drives out the evil spirits. Or the things that take us away from God. So I want to share a little bit about the Ash Wednesday gospel, and I'm going to read it before you. It's on the screen here. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." So whenever you give alms, alms is the first, that's why it's in yellow. Whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Whenever you pray, the second thing, whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners so that others may see them. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And number three, whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And this is the conclusion. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today I want to talk about fasting, the next screen. So that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father. How many of you grew up fasting where you were not allowed to have breakfast before you went to receive Holy Communion? How many of you fast as a general kind of principle, maybe during Lent or another time in your life, spiritual fasting. I don't mean before a colonoscopy. I don't mean that. Spiritual fasting. So when we do that, we open up a place inside of us to bring the Spirit in. It's a very type of very meaningful type of spiritual discipline and practice. God knows why we fast and the content of our fasting. God knows the content of everything that we do. So I wanted to reflect upon that today in the words of Pope Francis. The next screen, he says, fast from hurting words and say kind words. To move away from things coming out of our mouth that hurt another human being. Sometimes even sarcasm, but to say words that are kind. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. There's nothing wrong with being angry, getting angry. Jesus was angry at the people who made his temple a mockery, a bank, and he overturned the tables. But ask yourself, are you an angry person? Does it linger? Is something lingering in you that's a great source of anger? Fast from complaints and practice gratitude. The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and the former Archbishop of Cape Town, South Africa, Desmond Tutu, talks about the way to get joy is to practice gratitude. And I know sometimes here in North America, it's hard to remember that when we turn on the spigot, we get water, unlike so many around the world, and it's clean water. We have food to put on our table, 3 meals a day maybe. We have a vehicle to transport us here and there, not relying on the bus. We have money to fill that tank to go somewhere. We have a roof over our head. And for all those things that we sometimes forget, just to practice gratitude. Next, fast from grudges and be reconciled. Or reconcile. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have grudges right now against someone? Or does someone have a grudge against you? And do you even remember what the cause of that was so many years ago? Or do we have a grudge against a parent who has since passed on to heaven and we haven't been able to reconcile with that? The next page. Fast from bitterness and fill your heart with joy. To be honest, I don't like to be around people who are bitter. It kind of is very negative. But what I do understand as someone who has counseled people for almost 30 years is that there's some reason behind that, right? And a lot of these things, if we don't ask God to help clarify and cure and heal and make whole, then a lot of that kind of stuff can lead to addictive behavior. You know, we like a iceberg, you have the stuff outside, the 20% and 80% underneath. So what was that underneath that caused that? Or what is that underneath that causes us to try to heal the pain that we have by any kind of addiction? Fast from selfishness and be compassionate to others. I've always said, and I haven't done it yet, but I'd like to do it, is I'd like to go to Walmart sometime at Christmas time, or Advent time, and kind of hang out over by the main desk. And people are coming in to give money for a layaway, folks who may not have a credit card and they want to buy some toys for their children and just pay it off anonymously. Stand on the side and act like I'm doing something, but watch the joy in their face and in their heart. fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. We can fill a glass of water halfway, as you know, and is the water half full or half empty? What's your take on that? As a former Boy Scout, I'm like, okay, we've got a nice glass of water, it's halfway full, let me try to find some water to fill it up for the rest of the water in case I need it for later. But are we grateful to have just a little bit? And finally, fast from worries and have trust in God. My old boss in Charlotte, who was my mentor, where I worked for 6 years at St. Peter's downtown as an assistant rector, he was never really flustered about anything. And I said, doesn't this bother you? What, this, blah, 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 whatever this was. And he said, there's nothing I can do about it. So why worry? And I'm kind of a worrywart, so I try to remember that. But think of this. Think of going from hurting words to kind words, from anger to patience, from complaining to gratitude, from grudges to be reconciled, from bitterness to joy, from selfishness to compassion, from pessimism to hope, from worries to trust in God. Because we know what's going to happen when we die, right? I mean, our faith says we're going to go to heaven and have a big party, a big banquet. Every time I do a funeral, I say, this communion is a reminder and is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet that your loved one, Jane Doe, has already received when she died and went to heaven. It's a party. And this is the time during Lent in order to do some of this hard work introspectively. So that hurt, anger, complaints, grudges, bitterness, selfishness, pessimism, worries, we all have a little bit of that, can be transformed into kindness and patience, gratitude and reconciliation, joy, compassion, hope, and trust. And the next screen shows us again our picture of that ash cross in our heart. So we have this charge from Pope Francis, and for us as well, and me, that we can go from this cross to the next picture to that. So that all that stuff and ash and junk and stuff that we carry, and it's so heavy, isn't it? Jesus says, put it at the foot of the cross. As we make that journey to Jerusalem during Lent, you don't have to carry that stuff. Even if it's been a part of you for years. Because we know what the next story is for us, right? And to that we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.